We finished Muksa. We're going to do Bora now. Very exciting, right? Okay. How did I choose that topic? Well, this topic was chosen. The following topics I chose. But this time, Pini, when he asked me to give the shir, said teach them Muksa because they didn't get to that, and then teach them Borer because they didn't get to that. And the following shir, after Borer, I plan on teaching you how to make egg salad on Shabbos. Okay? And then we're going to discuss showering on Shabbos and Yontif. That's the following week. So we have our work planned out for us for this week and the following 3 weeks. After that, if you had questions, shirim, topics that you wanted me to do, I'm open to it. Okay? So let's do Borer. There's a Gemara on Shabbos Ayin Daled that says, Tanu Rabbanan, Hayu lefanav minei ochli. You have different foods. Borer va'ochal borer u'maniach. You can sort and eat some of them, sort and place some of them down. V'lo yivor, and don't sort. V'imbirer, but if you did sort, chayiv chatat. You are liable to bring a korban chatat. So this is very cryptic braita, because at some point it says, sort and place it, and then some point it says, don't do it. And if you did, you're chayiv. My kamar. So the Gemara actually, I left out the ellipsis, but the Gemara actually has 3-4 suggestions here, and each one is rejected until finally Abaye says, El Amar Abaye, this is what it's saying. Borer va'ochel la'altar. You can sort and eat for immediate use. Borer u'meniach la'altar. You could sort, and it doesn't have to go straight into your mouth, you could place it on a plate, again, if it's for immediate use. Well, the bo bayom, but if it's for that day, meaning not for immediate use, but later that day, lo yivor. V'imbirer, and if you did, nasa kabora la'otzar, it's like you sort it in order to store it in your storage place, in the grain house, wherever it is, v'chayev chata, and you need to bring a korban chatat. Amrua rabbanan kameh the rabba, the rabbis cited what Abaye said to Rava, amrlu shapar amar nachmani. This was his nickname. He says, he said correct, so he accepts Abaye's answer, not the 3 previous answers that I skipped here in this Gemara. And the next Gemara says, Hayu lefanav shnei minei ochlin, there's 2 foods, and it goes through a whole similar discussion, borer va'ochel miniach, and then it says, wait, I thought we just established one thing, another thing, the Gemara says, lo kasha, habakanun v'tamchoy, habanafo kfara. When it comes to using a kli to do borer, some kind of utensil, so you're not allowed to use a kli that is meant for sorting. Nafan kfara is not allowed. What's a nafan kfara? Nafan kfara is a sieve, a sifter, a colander. It's a device that you put everything in, an entire mixture, and after you shake it, dance with it, lift it up and down, knock it, bang it, you end up with everything you like is inside it, or outside it. Specifically, usually, it's all the things you don't want, like rocks and pebbles, are inside it. And what falls through? The good, pure flour, the good, pure food. And therefore, you are going to end up with a two separate foods, or non-foods. One food, the flour, or the good food, and the non-food, the rocks. And that's using this kli. So that's not allowed on Shabbos. You do that, that's what's chayef. On the other hand, v'kanun tamchoy is just using a plate. Using a plate, shaking it, touching it, while it's all on a plate. So in theory, some of the good can remain, some of the bad can remain. It's not really, if I were to ask you, is a plate a device used to sift things, to sort things? The answer is no. And therefore, that would be allowed if done appropriately, la'altar, we're going to get through the categories. Yes?
I was going to ask, would like a lettuce straw be okay to use?
To get rid of the water?
Yeah.
So we're going to discuss lettuce next week, how to deal with lettuce on Shabbos, because it is a big issue washing lettuce on Shabbos, because you're going to have to remove some of the lettuce with a bug if you find one, etc. The lettuce dryer we wouldn't use because it's a kli. But there is a way to dry lettuce just by putting it in a towel.
Yeah, yeah.
Okay.
Just double checking. Do both opinions go hand in hand?
Yes. Good. We're going to see that. Yes. But this week is going to be the whole practical background for everything we have to define to discuss every case we're going to discuss next week. Okay? So before we get to all the cases next week, how you eat melon, how you eat nuts, how you sort silverware, how you sort svarim, how you sort clothes, how you wash dishes, how you wash lettuce, how you eat chicken. Okay? Before we discuss every one of those cases, we have to define a few basic terms. Okay? There are three rules in order to allow you to do Borer on Shabbos. Three rules that have to be met, three criteria. Number one, it has to be la'alter, for immediate use. It has to be miyad. That's not a good marker. Let's try again. It has to be miyad. So we have to define what is immediate use. Okay? Is it only if I do it and then eat it right away? Does it go by a time period? 20 minutes, 30 minutes, 10 minutes, 30 seconds, 90 seconds? Or is it just that I'm not going to do some other activity along the way? So that's the first category, first criteria. Again, it needs to be for immediate use. It needs to be bayad. It has to be with your hands. We can't use a kli, or specifically a kli that is meant for separating. We can't use a sifter in order to separate it. And the third category, third criterion, is that it has to be ochel mitoch psolet. You have to take the good from the bad. Now, I already gave something away. How would you translate the words ochel mitoch psolet?
Food from rubbish.
Food from rubbish. Okay? The food from the waste. Therefore, we're going to have to discuss what's considered food and what's considered waste. And we have to discuss, does this only apply to food? When I sort silverware, is it an issue? When I sort svarim, is it an issue? Okay? So we have to define immediate use. We have to define using your hands and not a kli. We have to define what's considered a kli for this. We have to define what's considered good, what's considered bad. And all of this applies when we have a mixture. Okay? What is considered a mixture, a tarovet? Anytime there are two different items, is it a mixture? How many of them do I have to have? Do they have to be stuck together? Do they have to be in the same bowl or box? Can it be on a shelf? If one is on top of the other, but they're not mixed, if one is floating on the other, if I can clearly, any person with any decent eyesight can see them, one is inside the other. For example, you have chicken soup and a piece of chicken in it, or a matzo ball in it. So if I separate the matzo ball from the soup, did I separate a mixture? As opposed to if there are noodles in the soup, and there's hundreds of noodles in the soup, and I take out all the noodles, have I done anything different than taking out the matzo ball? So these are what we are going to define this week. And with this background, it's going to become very easy, but we're going to go through many, many cases really quickly because we're going to already know all the basic terms and definitions that we need to know. We're going to go through a lot of cases. So let's start with the definition of miyad. What is for immediate use? Because this is fascinating. You can have two people, Friday night, peeling an orange, and one of them is doing something he's allowed to do l'chadchila, and one of them is doing something absolutely usur, possibly is chayav v'chata for it. And if you were to step back and Shabbos videotape this, which I don't recommend, but just understand, if you were to look at them, they're doing the exact same action. Neither of them is using a special peeler. They're peeling it with their hands, with a knife. They're just peeling this orange. But one of them is doing it in order to eat it right now. And one of them is doing it in order to make a fruit platter for shalashutis. And therefore, he has violated the miyad rule. Because in order to be mutter, to do borer, We need to meet all three categories. And if any of them is not true, it is not allowed. When I was in college taking computer courses, my most interesting, the best professor I ever had, so he was a Frum man, a Talmud Chacham also, and this was the example he gave for an and statement, because you do a lot of logic in computer architecture. And he said, as an and statement, if any one of the categories isn't met, it doesn't work. It's already a false statement. But this is true not just in halacha. This is true in life. If you have to, in order to run for president of your country, if you had to have been born in the country, and you had to have been 35, and you had to have lived there most of your life, and never been arrested, so if one of those things isn't, convicted of a crime, not arrested, never been convicted of a felony, so if one of those isn't true, then you don't get to run for president. Even if one of them isn't true, it's no longer a factual statement that you can run for president. So that wasn't the example he gave. I assume when he used to teach in Queens College, which is a non-Jewish place, he had to give an example of that matter. But since he was teaching in a religious institution, he was able to give, this is the example. If it's not for immediate use, if it's not done by your hand, and if you take psolet from ochel, if you're not taking ochel from psolet, it is not allowed. So how do we define these rules? So quickly, just to see in Rabbeinu Hananel, who really explains this braita for us, just to make sure we're 100% clear what I explained outside, he's going to explain inside. Shaminan midivrei shloshtam, ki borer v'ochel biyad, borer meniach biyad shari. To do it with your hand right away is allowed. V'lo kol hechadabai shari elabrerat ochel mitok psolen. And not any way you want, but only the good from the bad. But the bad from the good, no. Even the good from the bad, the shari hainu livror lecho livror laniach kedei lochlo la'altar, only to eat it right now, ala shulchan, meaning to put it on the table, k'mo sheperashi. You can set it for your next meal. Aval laniach shelo la'altar lo. And hani mili biyad, with your hand, aval kanu mitam koei lo. You shouldn't even use any kli. Bimbir er putter, but aval asur. But if you did it that way, it's not allowed, but you're not chayev chatat. But enough of kvara, a real kli meant for sifting or sorting, hakol divrei hakol aser. V'mbira nasa kamisha bira laotzar b'shogig chayev chatat. That is the summary of the very confusing right in the Gemara and the multiple opinions of the Gemara. This is how we paskin. And now, every source we're going to do is going to help us define some of these terms, whether it be miyad, bayad, ochel mitok psolet, or tarovet. So let's start with the Beit Yosef. Yes, question.
Just about miyad before we start.
Yeah.
I've seen like multiple definitions of it before, but let's say we're having the example of the mandarin, are you eating it, or orange.
Yeah.
Can you like have one piece now, or half of the orange now, and then the rest be for Shabbos Sukkos, and that make it more time?
In other words, you're going to peel an orange now, and then you're going to eat some of it, and then the rest of it are going to be on the tray. So you're saying you're going to do a harama in order to do it for Shalosh Shudas.
Yeah.
So if it's possible to do borer on only half the orange, peel only half the orange, so then your solution doesn't work because you sorted more than you had to. Now, if you thought you were going to eat it all now and then you got full, that's a different story. But you really have to have planned to have eaten it.
So it's about intention, or if it's something you have to sort it all to eat it without
it even? In order to allow you to sort it, you have to intend for it to be right now.
All of it?
Anything you're going to sort.
Okay.
For example, if you have a bowl of peanuts and raisins and you want to eat some peanuts, you could take a few peanuts right now. You don't have to sort out all the peanuts in order to eat just a few.
Yeah.
Okay? So if you were to sort all the peanuts and raisins, and now you have a way of sending raisins to somebody and sending peanuts to somebody, there was no need for you to do that. All you wanted to do was eat five peanuts. Why did you sort them all? So too, why did you peel the whole orange? You only needed one piece.
Yeah. And so, as well, like, does it need to be for immediately or the next meal?
That's what we're going to discuss right now. Okay. Yes. Who raised his hand? You.
Yeah, just the case of like you intend for the whole thing to be eaten now, but you get full after one, two pieces.
So then it's okay. There's no chayiv.
And then you can eat the rest whenever you want throughout the day?
Yes. Okay, but you really have to have intended to do it now. Okay. Beit Yosef discusses what miyad is. So Beit Yosef quotes a whole bunch of shitot. So one of them he quotes is the Rosh and the Ran citing Rabbeinu Hananel, who just gave us that summary. Dehainu shir mashe meisav al shulchan ba'ota suda bilvad, for your next meal. Chen katav Rabbeinu Yerucham, ela shekatav kodem lechen v'zel shono, va'afilu biyad shamarnu demutter davka la'alter, kolomar la'ota suda. Aval lebo bayon, kolomar shborer u'maniach l'tzorach suda acheret sh'oto yom ba'atzmo, aser. So really, it's got to be, if you're doing it for lunch, for lunch. You can't do for shalashudas at lunchtime. Venerally, the hachikamar, shimu borer achar suda, kol shiborer l'tzorach suda acheret bo'to yom ba'atzmo, havi la'alter. So let's say you're cleaning up from your meal and you see there's some good food among some bad stuff on the table, and you want to separate that in order to save it for the next meal. That's allowed, because you have completed the previous meal. So now it's already, the minute you finish lunch, you're already planning for shalashudas. In kashuba toch suda borer, but if you're in the middle of the meal, and you're like, hey, I'm not going to have enough food for shalashudas, let me save some. No, because you're still eating lunch. Eni yochal livror ela letzorech ota suda bilvad. And so too, if you're setting up for lunch, and you have food, and you're worried you're not going to have enough, you can't grab some for shalashudas by separating. Meaning, if you have a big pot of chicken, you can take half the chicken and put it in. We're talking, that's one item. But we're saying if you have a mixture, and you're going to take some of the big pieces, and leave over the small pieces to eat now, and save some big ones for later, therein is your problem. Chaymen borer kodim suda tzarech la'ochla mitocha suda rishona, v'mehisha mehem erachar sh'amad v'sudo to lo mikri la'alter v'chayach. So it has to be for this suda, and if you purposely leave them in order to be for another suda, now you're chayav. V'amordechai katav, d'davka l'hachil l'chol achar b'rirator shari, aval l'chol achar shah nasek borer l'otzar. And when the Mordechai, he limits it, he says, really, you have to do it, and then eat right away, not after an hour. I saw in Rabbi Ribiat Sefer, do you know Rabbi Ribiat Sefer? It's this four-volume gray set called the Lamed Tet Malachos of Shabbos. It's written in English, so the good footnotes are in the back in Hebrew. People often call it the Gray Bible. So in this Gray Bible, he says, it doesn't matter if it takes you to set up for lunch. Everything you're going to do for lunch can take you 3 hours to set up for lunch. And he says, the borer doesn't have to be the last activity you're going to do before lunch. It just has to be, if I know it takes me 3 hours to set up for lunch, and I have to do this borer, and I have to do this cutting, and I have to do this washing, and I have to do this setting the table, and this putting up the food on the plata, and all that's going to take me 3 hours, so at 3 hours beforehand, I'm allowed to do the borer. But not 3.5 hours. He says, but what am I not allowed to do, therefore, not 3.5 hours, even though I want to spend 3 hours doing this, then I want to take a half an hour walk before lunch, and then lunch, he says, that's a problem. Now you've done it 3.5 hours before, and it's not considered right before. That's how he defines right before. So in other words, it doesn't have to be 10 minutes before. It doesn't have to be, it just has to be when it's the when you're setting up for lunch. When the last thing you're doing is setting up for lunch, at that point you can do borer, and it's considered miyad or la'alter for lunch. Even though 2 hours are not going to pass by. And why is that important to know? Because he points out, though don't take culinary advice from him, only take Hilchos Shabbos from him, but he says sometimes people are going to want to make a certain salad, you're going to have to peel things for it, and that's borer, but a borer you're allowed to do when it's la'alter. And he says, and sometimes the salad has dressings that need to get absorbed. So if I know that I need this salad to sit in the vinegar dressing for an hour in order to be good for lunch, and so therefore I have to peel everything 1 hour and 15 minutes before lunch, it's fine. Even though I'm not going to eat the salad for an hour, because I need it to soak in the vinegar, I'm allowed to, at the bare minimum amount of time before lunch, 1 hour and 15 minutes, to make this salad, even though I'm not going to eat it for another hour. So it's not time delimited as much as don't do anything else, not lunch preparatory related in between. Okay? Was that clear?
What happens in the case where, like let's say, for example, the wife whilst making a salad, not knowing what harm she was going to finish. So she does it. She does water in making the salad, and thinking that she's going to eat straight away, and then Shul's taking long, or her husband's chatting to his mate.
I think it's okay. I think it's okay. Yes. Meaning, but it's not that she planned to go for a walk and schmooze. Then I think it's okay. Yes. But that's how we pass. Let's see how the Shulchan Aruch phrases it. And then we're going to discuss some of the commentaries in the Sadr Shulchan Aruch, what they explain his Lashon as. Okay, we're in source 4. The Shulchan Aruch says, Haborer ochel mitoch psolet, o shayu lefanav shnei minei ochlin, o borer min mi min acher. So if you take food from waste, or even two foods, and you take one food from the other food, benafo kvara chayav, if you're using a sieve, you're chayav. Bekanon v'tamchoy pater aval aser. V'im biram biyado, if you used your hand, kedei lechol altar, in order to eat them right away, mutter. And what's considered the altar, says the Rama, Haga, v'chol ma sheborer letzorech otasuda shemesav bamiyad mikra la'altar. Okay, and that's why I told you that we passed in that way already. Yes?
Okay. Passed
in for the suda? Yeah, for the next suda. Bet. Habora biyado, la'nicho afilu lebo bayom, nasek boro lotzer v'chayv. But again, if it's not for the next suda, even if you're using your hand, even if it's ochel mitoch psolet, because you're missing out on miyad, it's no longer true, now you're chayv. So here is a comment. First of all, I wanted to show you in the Mishnah Berurah, in Shinchav Aleph, he even refers back to this. In Shinchav Aleph, he's discussing chotech, tak tak, chopping something up really small, which we're going to discuss when we get to egg salad in 2 weeks. But he says, "Va'inan samach l'suda mamish kemoshe kesavti b'siman shin yotelin borer." Just like we said about borer, that has to be done right before the meal, so too about chopping up your food right before the meal. So, it's clear that one of the criterion for borer to be allowed has to be before the next meal. Okay. Discussing this, ber halacha, on the words of borer min mi min acher, which was the Shulchan Aruch Lashon and Sif Aleph, he says, le'inyan chiyuva l'nafa v'chvara, ein chiluk bein im birer oto amin shaya rotze lechol, v'amin hasheni nishar amakoma olehipuch, it doesn't matter whether you are separating the one you want or don't want. Let me explain, because we're discussing ochel mitoch psolet, it's good from bad. Here, they're both good. There's a bowl of peanuts and raisins. Now, you may like peanuts more than raisins. That doesn't make one of them necessarily bad. Except here, because you want peanuts, maybe we're going to view the raisins as bad. So if you somehow have a device that's going to separate one from the other, one person likes soup and one person likes noodles, so it doesn't matter if you have a way to catch the soup or if you have a way to catch the noodles, when you separate the two of them, that is aser. Yes?
How do you define what's good or bad?
Excellent. We're going to get to that today. Not even next week. I'm not even going to make you wait a week for that. Today we're getting to that. Okay. Shulchan Aruch in Siv Gimel, in our same siman, uses the following lashon. Hayu lefanav shnei minei ochlin mu'ravim. Okay, now we're getting into the definition of what's considered a mixture, and what's considered good, and what's considered bad. Okay, these definitions. Ochel mitoch psolet and tarovet. So Shulchan Aruch says, if you have two foods that are mixed, borer echad me'echad u'mei niyach, and the Rama adds in the words hasheni, kidei, le'achol miyad. You can select one from the other and leave the other one over in order to eat it right now. Okay? You have two foods, two good items. You want one of them. You can take the one you want and eat it. That's called eating. That's not called sorting. Says the Rama, v'shnei minei dagim, two different fish. Somebody made you a plate of salmon and sole. Mikri shnei minei ochlin, and it's considered two different foods. Va'aser livror echad michavero ela biyado kedei lochon miyad. So you can't separate one from the other. You can't decide, I don't want the salmon and the sole on the same plate. Let me separate them and make the salmon one plate and sole on the other. That's not allowed. But what you're allowed to do is say, I want to eat the sole right now. And take the piece of sole and eat it. You don't have to shove it straight in your mouth. You're allowed to put it on your plate and eat it like a mensch. But you can take one of the items from the plate, put it on your plate, and now that's what you're eating. That's not considered separating. That's considered taking it to eat. Aval. One second. This is true, even though they're big pieces and they seem separate. So when I say it's a mixture, you have a big piece of salmon on the plate and a big piece of sole on the plate. That's not mixed, and I'm going to take the sole. That's allowed. But to just separate all the big pieces of salmon, all the big pieces of sole, that's not allowed, even though they're all big, and you, from the naked eye, you can tell that they're separate. That's still considered halakhically a mixture. Aval koshu min echad, says the Shulchan Aruch. If it's one item, aval pishe borer chaticho gdolo mitoch tano lo mikri brera. You have big pieces of salmon and little pieces of salmon. And you want to separate out all the big pieces of salmon and bring them to the adult table, and all the little pieces of salmon bring them to the kids' table, maybe that's not called brera. I'm saying maybe, because he says it's not, but we're going to have to define his lashon, so don't pass him the halacha yet. Bafilu ayu shnei minim, uberer mishneiam biyachad, even if there's two different ones, and you select from both of them, hagdolo mitoch ktan rolehov, olehefech, shari, hoel ve'eno borer min echad mitoch havero. So even if there are two minim, and you take all the big pieces of salmon and all the big pieces of sole, but together, meaning you're not sorting out salmon from sole, you just want all the big pieces separate, so that you can save them for later, so that you can serve them to the fancy guests, etc. Shari, hoel ve'eno borer min echad mitoch havero. That's allowed since you're not separating one min from another min, one type from another type. But even that, if you didn't do it to eat it right now, but you did it for later, you did it in the morning in order to eat it in the afternoon, chayev. That's what the Shulchan Aruch's lashon was. So commenting on this idea of gedolo mitoch tanot, the Taz says something that's going to answer your question. He says, what makes this bad? We know the rule is you have to take ochel from solit. So says the Taz, Betruma Radeshin Katov, She'ein Isr Breira El Bebet Minim, De Gemara Ita Hayu Bet Minim Lefanav, Vedafka Bet Minim. The last line of the Breita, it's after the Breita, the last line of the piece I gave in the Gemara on the source number one, says if there were two foods. So the Truma Radeshin was a daik from it being two foods, that is specifically with two foods. But the Taz disagrees. It says, Tamua Lan Yodaiti. This is strange to me, to my humble opinion. It wasn't coming to be to limit it and saying only when there's two foods. Rather, he's being inclusive. When there's one type of food, obviously there's brera. When you're eating some now and saving some for later, so you separate it and leave it for later. You're allowed to eat right now and leave some over for later, that's allowed. But to specifically pull some out and save it for later, that would be borer. But afilu bet minim, tikvar nikar mufrashu. When you look at it, you see they're separate, kol echad mechaveru, each one from its fellow piece. Ein shaykh vaze erev, and they're not really mixed. Afilu hachi lo yivror. Even so, you can't select from them. Vitu deba ochal muravim solet, food mixed with waste, hu bemin echad, that's one kind. Even if there isn't any waste, it's all good, but you want to leave some. Mikre otu hashir solet. That item that you're trying to leave over and say, don't eat that now. So I'm going to separate it and remove it to make sure it doesn't get eaten now. For all intents, halachic purposes, it's considered solet. Using Brett's terminology, rubbish. Okay? It's rubbish. Commenting on the words of the Shulchan Aruch, Lo Mikri Breira, Magen Avraham says, Elim Kisein says, even when we say it's allowed, as long as it's both foods and you're taking big ones and the mutter and it's for soon to be eaten, Ellen King sat ain roy lechol ela yidei chak. He says you have to be sure that really they both are good. If some of them are bekoshi edible, you wouldn't want to eat them, and some of them are actually edible, and you're purposely taking the good ones and leaving bad ones, or purposely taking bad ones, leaving good ones. But they're not all good, so now it's considered borer, and you can't do that because it's not really what you're taking to be eaten right now. Okay? Just to clarify what I just said. We said that if you have big pieces on the plate, and you want to eat some of them, so you take some, and you eat some, and now there's small pieces left, you could save that for later. But if you also want to take, and there's even if there's multiple types of food, he said, even if there's salmon and sole, so you could take all the big pieces off and eat them, and you have all the small pieces for later, says that's only if it's really, all really good. Where some of them are not edible, now it's considered that you're doing borer. Yes?
Doing borer, if you do it, does it make the food also?
No.
So like if you do borer accidentally, you can still eat it. See, you haven't raped it.
That's my understanding. Because, let's think about what you accomplished when you did borer. Could you have eaten it?
Before?
Yeah. Just you would end up eating something you don't want to eat. So you didn't really need the malacha, so... Plus you could have done the malacha in a mutter fashion.
Oh, like say you did borer on wine. You filtered out the sediment in the wine to make kiddush on that wine. So then it's like a mitzvah by my bear.
But you could have done that in a mutter fashion. So, Bidi Eved, we say, when you don't need the malacha, we don't like telling people this because it's not lechachila, but if somebody did something wrong, Bidi Eved, and we don't need that malacha in order to benefit, we can get benefit.
They could have done it without doing it wrong.
Okay. Where does this come up a lot? I don't know. That could come up there, but I was thinking, because this comes up, if you, let's say you have a building with automatic doors, and you have a guest who's not from, and he doesn't know to go through the side door, and he goes through the automatic door, and he brought you a bottle of wine. So, do you say, how did this wine get in my building? It came through the electric door. Mitzvah baba avera, I can't make kiddush on this wine. No, because you could have had him, he could have brought you that wine bottle in a mutter fashion through the side door. You didn't need the malacha in order for this to happen. But if he made you the wine on Shabbos by squeezing grapes, you needed the malacha in order for that, for you to have that wine right now. And therefore you can't have wine that was made on Shabbos. You hear the difference between where the malacha was needed to get it done? Yes.
So in the similar case, if someone brought you, for example, they drove a bottle of wine.
Oh, like in Srugim.
What is Srugim?
Oh, okay, good.
But it was like a distance that was walkable. Would you be able to...
So I had an issue in the army that I was at an outpost. And this outpost, it was within the area of a base, a big, huge army base that was used to store equipment, including tanks. And I was doing Shmirah far out, and the way where I was, I know it was walkable. How do I know it was walkable? Because my shifts were about 4 hours, and there were two other chayalim. We each were on for 4 hours and off for 8 hours. And we each took turns walking when it was our 4 hour shift. So I know it was walkable. It was like a 20, 30 minute walk, but it was walkable all within the Erev. And I walked in and I got to my spot. But if it's a meal time while you're on Shmirah, they bring you your food. And who brings you your food? Of course, the Chiloni commander or whoever was available to bring it. And they send him with our food in the car. So the food comes to me where I am on Shmirah. Can I eat this food?
You have to wait the time. Would it take it to walk?
Interesting. That wasn't the psak I got. The psak I got was based on a gra that said you didn't need the malacha to be done, because he could have walked it to you. Therefore, the fact that he drove it to you was lehanato. I wasn't getting benefit from him driving, but maybe what you're saying is true, because I got benefit from hot food. By the time he walked it to me, it would have been cold. I don't know, it's a good point. So maybe you should wait a bit. That's a different discussion. That's not the topic of our class right now. But right now, I was just pointing out, you didn't need the malacha done, because one of the things we're going to see, especially when we go through next week's all the examples, is just about every form of borer, there's a mutter way of doing it. And that's the point of learning about this malacha. Because you do it one way, chayav chatra. And you do it another way, and it's mutter lechachilo. And that's why we have to know these criteria. Yes? It could be. Could be.
One last question.
Yeah.
There's like four types of borer. Like when you talk about borer,
You're saying there's Zora and Merakid?
Zora and Merakid, borer.
Yeah.
And Dash maybe.
Okay.
When you say borer,
we're doing borer. Only borer.
Okay.
It's a fair point, but I didn't think I was going to cover it in this one or next one. Okay. Now, let's go to the Mishnah Berurah. The Mishnah Berurah commenting on these same words, Lo Mikri Breira. We're in the top of the second column. Lo Mikri Breira. Im lo shiksat mihem eno tovim kol kach. He's quoting the Magen Avram. Kemo chatik roch eirim. Kegon shenektichu. They got burnt. Mikoach habishel ezeh chatik hodagim. Rotze levoratan shelo nektichu. So you want to pick out the non-burnt pieces from the burnt pieces. So you can't separate them out. What you can do is take the piece that you want to eat right now. But you can't decide, why should I bring out this platter with all these burnt pieces? Everybody's going to think I'm a bad cook. Let me remove these bad pieces and only bring out the good pieces. That is clearly not allowed to do. V'tapuchim chamutzim umetukim. So you have good apples and sour apples. He's not sure if that's considered just apples, and then you can separate them or not. If it's sour enough that you wouldn't eat them, now maybe they are considered waste. Even if you could eat them and not die, and you would only slightly grimace and have your lips pucker while you eat them, but they are edible. Even if they're one item. Skip to the bold. Therefore, you have these big meals. They take a big platter and put multiple kinds of chicken on them. So because there's this big platter and they're going to decide to put some up now for the meal and save some for the other meal or save some from Lava Malka, so you have to make sure that you take the ones you want now and not remove some and save them for later in a Tupperware. Okay, the issues are you have this big platter and it's supposed to last you a whole bunch of time. So you don't want to heat it all up now because it's going to unnecessarily dry out the ones that you don't need right now. So you're going to remove some. That's the problem. So instead of removing the ones that you don't want to eat now and you're saving for later, instead, remove the ones that you want to eat right now. Take them and put them up and eat them right now. Prima Gadim, which was just alluded to in the Mishnah Berurah, says, how do we decide whether an item is one or two? So he says, for example, what we just discussed about the sour apples. Im chalukim b'taman o b'shman le'inyan shechianu hu adin kan. Same would be true when it comes to shechianu. Let's say I never saw an apple before, and I finally get this new apple, and it's a new fruit, so I'm supposed to make a shechianu. So the apple, the first apple I ever saw in my life was a sour apple. And I make a shechianu and gevalt, I'm so excited, I got to taste this new fruit. A sour apple. A week later, somebody shows up to town with non-sour apples, sweet apples, delicious apples. So, is that considered another item in terms of shechianu? Do I make a new shechianu or not? So he says, if they're considered the same fruit, if they're all considered apples, you wouldn't make another shechianu. So if they're all considered apples for shechianu, if they don't get an extra shechianu bracha, they're considered the same item when it comes to Hilchot Shabbos. In terms of borer. But if they're separate for that purpose, then they're separate for borer too. I will tell you, I once asked Rav Lichtenstein about, there's fruit juice, like lychee nut juice or something, and I drank that, and then a few weeks later, somebody served me lychee nuts. And I didn't know, do I make a shechianu on lychee nuts after I've had lychee nut juice? And Rav Lichtenstein told me, you do. Because when it comes to the juice of a fruit, except for grapes and olives, for obvious reasons, we consider the juice of the fruit, according to the Gemara, zeya ba'alma. It's fruit sweat. It's not juice. And therefore, you didn't really have the fruit. And now when you have the fruit, you make a shechianu on it. So here too, the same would apply. If you make a shechianu, if it's considered a separate item, then it's considered a separate item for borer. Continuing in the Prima Gadim, you have different cakes. Schmaltz kichelach. Emhenik kichelach. So you have certain types of kichels, cookies. Yesh lamar, the shnei minim havo kol shechaluk mitamar. They have different tastes, they're different. Especially here, when it comes to borer, he says you have to be very careful because of the chi of chatat. Moving on, the Mishnah Berurah says, and this is the next thing we're going to discuss, the lashon so far was ochel mitoch psolet. If you see in the source number one, hayu lefanav shnei minei ochlin, you have two different foods. So does it apply when you have a mixture of items that aren't edible? So says the Mishnah Berurah, it's the same Mishnah Berurah from before, I'm just continuing. So we're the source number three in the second column. If there's two different items, you have to be careful about borer. So therefore we're going to discuss when you have a big pile of silverware in your sink, how you can dry them and put them away in your cabinet, or how you can put them out on the table to set the table when your mother asks you to set the table. That's all going to be discussed next week. But this week we have all the background for all the terminology we're going to need to go through every case next week quickly. So he says it applies to Kalim 2. You can't just sort all the forks, knives, and spoons, but rather if you want a fork, take a fork from the pile. If you want a spoon, take a spoon from the pile. You want a knife, take a knife from the pile. But you can't just start removing all the spoons until you find the fork that you want, or just sorting all the forks, spoons, and knives. You have a bunch of clothes hanging on the wall. Or you look for a certain piece of clothing that you want to wear now. So you remove from on top of the one you want all the other begadim. That's not borer. Or you have a platter with many, you know, a fruit bowl. So there's apples and oranges and bananas and it's piled up really high. And you want the apple on the bottom. Is it borer for you to get your apple? It's all there in the bottom. Remove the ones on top. So Mishnah Berurah coins this term called siluk. Removing the item you want from on top of an item. Removing an item you don't want from the top of an item you do want, when they're separate, when they're not really mixed, they're just on top, or blocking, that's not considered borer. So here we have a very useful, important kula, because you hang up your coat in these coat racks in yeshiva, and there's hooks, and so your coat's on the bottom, how do you get to your coat? So isn't that a issue of borer? You're going to pull out a coat from the other ones? You're going to remove coats from on top of yours in order to get to yours. So, this isn't my coat, get out of here. This is my coat, get out of here. Isn't that borer? And the answer is no, because all you're doing is siluk, not borer.
Apply it liberally.
Well, we're going to discuss for the liberal solution to this, because what about when you have a big pile of coats on a bed? It's become an issue. So we're going to discuss next week the solution called just spread them all out and you don't have a mixture anymore. And that's going to be the solution also for silverware that we're going to discuss. But if it's not mixed, it's no longer a mixture. So there's no rule to take your mixture and spread it out so it's no longer mixed. And that's going to be a solution for a lot of the cases next week. Okay, we have three more sources here. The Or Sameach has a very interesting kula. The Or Sameach says, Da, deborer gidro hu bedavar ha-balul yachad u-mishtamish ku-balul. Borer, it's geder, its hagdara is, how do you define borer? When the item is mixed. Bazem borer meyoto psolim mitoch haochel b'shnei neminim have borer rav melacha. Avav davar sheino balo lo shaych borer. If it's not mixed, if there's no mixture, you can't have a problem from demixing it, from sorting it. So it has to really be mixed. So what's he talking about? Many people broke many pens writing about this kelim. Yes, you could have a mixture of kelim. A pile of forks and spoons and knives isn't really borer. That's what he says. So it seems that, you know, I'm not one to disagree with the Or Sameach, but based on everybody else, based on the Shmir Shabbos Kolchata and the Rabbi Ribia and all the Svarim I've been looking at that go through all these cases of how to deal with kelim that are mixed, clearly we're not paskening like this Or Sameach, because he says the minute there are kelim and they're viewed separately and it's not really a mixture, there's no borer. But just so you know, as a tzad l'hakel, if you need it, that's somebody worth relying on. Who is Lor Sameach? Come on. Rav Meir Simcha of Dvinsk also wrote the Meshech Chachma. Okay, Perish on Chomish. Lor Sameach is Perish on the Rambam. Aruch HaShulchan says, Uchuva davar zemi shnei panim. Echad bedavar anika harbe la'ayin aroel lo shaykh lomar v'zebrera shein zebrera l'nitil ba'alma. If you can look at an item and see it as separate, it's not brera. So what's his example? Chol elu advarim shechashamnu im nirim la'ayin kemo begadim v'kelim v'svarim. So when it comes to books, each book is viewed as separate. Clothing, each article of clothing is separate. Each pot is viewed as separate. When Rabbi Ribian in his Sefer quotes this Aruch HaShulchan in one of his footnotes, he limits it. He says, sometimes you'll see that there are books that look all alike. For example, they'll make a whole bunch of Siddurim and they're all the same, even though one of them is Nusach Ashkenaz and one of them is Nusach Sfard. So you have this huge pile of Siddurim that you want to sort from Nusach Ashkenaz on one shelf and Nusach Sfard on another shelf. That's a problem because they all look the same. But at the same time, Rabbi Ribiat says, let's say you have your big Shulchan Aruch, and you took out a little Tanakh, and you have your Gemara Shabbos from Oza Hadar, and you happen to have a Ritva from Mosad Rav Kook, so it's beige. These aren't his examples, these are mine, but just filling it in. Different shapes, color, sizes, and you know that this book was there, and this book is that set, and they're not really mixed. And a Hanami, that even though you have a stack of 4, 5, 10 of these books, you're allowed to put it there and not consider it mixed for that purpose.
So what about if you've got a mini shas and you take out 2 Osmara
volumes? They all look the same.
All look in the bed.
So one of the solutions we're going to discuss next week is that any book you're using, you're allowed to put back in its spot. So one solution is if you have 2, is you open it up, read a line, and then say, oh, look, this is the Hilchos Shabbos. Put it back where the Shabbos is, and then the other one can just go back to the other spot. Okay, now when you have 10, so you have to do it for a bunch of them, if they all look the same. Okay, now it's a lot more annoying when you have 50 Siddur and 25 Nusach Ashkenaz and 25 Nusach Sfard. Okay, one more source. Oh, one last point in the Aruch HaShulchan. He discusses, when you're eating, part of eating is never brera. So in his example, he says that you can, you know, they used to have to strain food, certain drinks, so they would put like a handkerchief in front of their mouth and drink. So even though they were straining it as they were drinking it, but because it was happening at their mouth or in their mouth, that was considered derech achila. Finally, Shut Igrot Moshe discusses something very important that I had to make clear, which is people need to know that there's a problem with using what's called a serrated spoon or a slotted spoon. What is that? A spoon with holes in it. But there's only a problem in certain cases. You are not allowed to use that in order to strain any food. For example, you have chicken and gravy, and you want just the chicken, so you use one of those and lift up the chicken and the gravy drips out, and then you get just chicken. That you are not allowed to do on Shabbos. That is a kli. The kli is not bayad, and the kli is removing solely from ochel, possibly. But anyway, it's not bayad, so it no longer fits these criteria and it's not allowed. But when we say that only bayad is allowed, here Moshe Feinstein is going to broaden the definition of bayad for us. And with this, we'll finish, because I've gone over my time, though we started a bit late. But let's just see his important lashon that we're going to need to know. It says, "Bedavar bora b'shabbos lechol alter ochel mitok solid al yedei mazleg v'kaf, to use a fork or spoon." That's what he was asked. He says, "Pinei pashul l'anu yodaiti dima yedei mazleg v'kaf nivra benakam v'yado shenimtza shemisayim l'masav reira yesh lakshiv zeh bora b'kli." If you use the fork in order to lift up the item so that the liquid drains out, it's just like the slotted spoon. And therefore, that would be borer not allowed. Just like we said about a plate, when the plate is being used to do borer. But, if you're not using the fork to separate any more than when you take a piece of food with your hand, in other words, the fork is just an extension of your hand, because you don't want to get dirty, or because your mother's going to yell at you for eating with your hands, so you use a fork. Or you're too far to grab the food with your hands, so you use the fork. Or it's wet. I would add in, or it's hot, and you don't want to get burnt. So using a fork is just considered an extension of your hand. It doesn't violate this. It has to be bayad. It has to be with your hand. When we're saying that it has to be bayad, it means not using any implement as a means of straining it, as a means of separating it, as a means of sorting it. You have to do it with your hand. You don't really have to use your hand, though. So therefore, when we discuss not using a kli, we're going to say when you peel something, for example, you can't use a peeler. Because the peel is a kli, removing the food. So that's a kli. But you can use a knife. Very good. That's exactly the point I'm trying to make. You can use a knife. So you're allowed to peel your orange with a knife. Okay, and with that, we now have all the terms we need. We've defined miyad, immediate use. We've defined bayad, your hand, what it includes. We've defined mixtures. And we've defined the good and the bad. So next week, we're going to go through a whole bunch of cases now that we have all these definitions.